Welcome to The Root Podcast. My name is Reverend Lauren Gerlach, and I am so glad that you're here. Over the years, The Root has grown into so much more than a Bible study. It's a community focused on Scripture. While we meet together in person for class on Sundays, this podcast is here for you, and I am so glad that you have landed here with us. So get comfortable, grab your cup of coffee, and open your Bible to the book of Genesis. Let's jump in. Good morning. Good morning, good morning. How are y'all? Okay, let's have our post-donut and fruit tray. Did you see the spread here today? I would just like to say thank you to Debbie and everyone who always signs up for the rotation. Just every time, it's so nice to have that little touch of something sweet, something to drink, coffee, etc., as we get settled in and have this time for community right at the front end. So good morning. I am so glad you're here. If this is your first time and you're interested in following along in the Bible journal that we all use, please feel free to grab one there on the back table. Totally free. You don't need to sign up. You don't need to pay. It's the Bible. So please have your own so that we can be following along together. I just have a few announcements today. This is a flyer for joining day, and that is something that happens here. And as we continue on through Genesis and through the spring semester, I'll have a little bit more context around things that are going on at the church, especially on Sundays. So on March 16th, if you're not a member and you've been praying about joining St. Andrew, it's a great place to be. We'd love to have you join formally. That can happen either on March 16th or something like today. Hold on. Something like today between the services up in the parlor. It's a quick process in the parlor. This is more of a formal lunch that you can come to, but you'll hear all about the ministries at St. Andrew, and then they'll read you the membership vows. I know a lot of y'all are already members, but I just want to lift that up because every time I go to a joining day luncheon, I see so many folks from The Root, and I think that's awesome because this is such a great entry into the church. The church is a big place. It certainly is a place that you can connect with others and then get involved in other places of the church. So it's not meant to be a one-stop shop, but it is a great entryway in. So there's the joining day. Other than that, it's our regular stuff. Please feel free to sign in at the welcome desk. That way we have a record of your attendance. We know how many folks are here each Sunday. We can get you the right information. Are y'all getting the emails? The recent emails? No. Okay, if you answer no, please put your email on the sign-in sheet so that we have everything updated. They go out every Thursday at 7 a.m., so that way you can kind of get a glance at what's coming down the pipe for the next weekend. Last week, y'all had Will Tiller here. He was teaching all the way through. I heard the animals are lined up ready to get on the boat. Is that right? Okay, great. He had a great time with y'all, and I know that y'all made him feel really welcome, as y'all always do, especially signing up for the hospitality committee and just the ways that we can help make this room come to life. Scott and Sue Smith, our faithful volunteers, are enjoying a well-earned weekend off. But that also means there's so many of y'all who have stepped up and are part of this now little team. So we just want to keep growing that, and that would be great. And then, as always, if you miss a class, you can catch up on the podcast, on the website. Just hop on there, and it will all go straight to your iPhone. Easy peasy. With that, we're going to take a minute and kind of center ourselves. We're going to say the memory verse for the spring. We're going to pray and then jump in. So let's say it together. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. All right. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we center ourselves as we come to this Bible study to hear more of your word, what you're calling us to, the way in which we should go the week following this Sunday, and the stories that have been told over and over and over again from generations of those who have read the Bible, believed it, doubted it, questioned it, explored it. Help us to become part of the company of the great the great witness of the Christian faith as we continue to hear the story of Noah. All this we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, and we are streaming. All right, awesome. So we are picking up in Genesis chapter 7. I believe Will said y'all ended on verse 10. Is that right? Okay, varying reviews. So we're going to start at verse 5. That's where we're going to go. And don't worry. We're gonna speed through to the spot where supposedly we really left off, which is debated. Okay, so are y'all ready? Chapter 7, verse 5. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth, and Noah and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives entered the ark to escape the waters of the flood. Pairs of clean and unclean animals, of birds, and of all creatures that move along the ground, male and female, came to Noah and entered the ark, as God had commanded Noah. And after the 7 days, the floodwaters came on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day, all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened. And rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and wives of his three sons, entered the ark. Okay, there you go. Circle it. Verse 13. They are on board. If you've ever been on a cruise ship, you know that moment. Once you're on, you're on. The boat is leaving. So this is the moment that is important because we're told ahead of time it will be 40 days. What else talks about 40 days in the Bible? This is a shouted out crowd, remember? Yeah. Jesus. What about Jesus? In the garden. Wandering in the wilderness. Yep. What about seven? After the 7 days, what does seven mean? Completion, pure, whole, good, upright. So we have this foretelling. The rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 14, they had with them every wild animal according to its kind. Pause. That according to its kind and all of these details reveal what about God and God's plan for us? There's order. It's an orderly creation narrative that we have. God operates in this orderly way. It may look chaotic at times, but that is not the nature of God. God is not chaotic like we are when we can't get our act together and we say like we're running on empty, like there's not enough in the tank and it spills out onto all parts of our lives, you know, on those days when we seem to be hurried and uncertain. That's not God. God is absolutely certain. God has created this orderly account in a way, and the order is for enjoyment. Order leads to enjoyment. It's because things are according to its kind. It's because they're in their place. It's because they're serving and fulfilling the purpose for which they are made. When we get into the law in the Old Testament, which will be later, not necessarily just in Genesis, but the law in the Old Testament is all about fulfillment for the purpose for which you are made. And everything in your context. These lights are on. Let's see. This light right here above me is off. Do you see that? All the other lights are pretty much on. So this light bulb right here is not fulfilling the order for which it is made, the purpose for which it is made, right? All the rest of them are operating for the reason that we make light bulbs. That's just one silly example, but you see, it's all wrapped up in this creation and then this recreation that's happening here with the flood and then the aftermath. What verse am I even on? 14. Okay. They had with them. Yes. Okay, we just read 14. Verse 15. pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. They have the breath of life, the ruach, the way that, Lisa, is that right? Ruach, yeah, for that one, okay. Lisa, by the way, shout out. This is our new pastor of Congregational Care. Yeah, let's give her a warm welcome. Sorry, I didn't know I was going to do that, but there you go. We're so glad you're here. Lisa and I are serving at the 11 o'clock service right after this together. Anyways, Lisa is the expert on the biblical languages, insofar as I can tell. So, good. That is the breath of life. That it matters that you see in these creatures and in this approach, getting on board, that these are God's created, also beloved beings. Are they made in the image of God, though? No. The only creatures that are made in the image of God are the humans. And so they come in pairs. Verse 16, the animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God had commanded Noah. Then the Lord shut him in. For 40 days, the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. Let's see. As I was researching, my very fancy biblical research, I was trying so hard to find a scene from Evan Almighty to bring to y'all, but all of them were way too long and they would have been copyright issues on the podcast. So just go home and watch it. But there's a great scene when they're getting on the boat and Evan, played by Steve Carell, he's been telling people over and over again, like, God has told me there's going to be a flood. Nobody believes him, of course. And so as he's on the boat with all these crazy animals, everyone looks over and sort of like these floodgates break and water starts rushing in. And it's sort of poetic because it's just as soon as the people who first rejected the message that had been given to them by God, hey, this is going to happen. Just as soon as they see then the impending doom coming, they look at the floodwaters and like all of us in this room, they race on. It's like all of a sudden that boat looks really good. Like, do you still have room for us? And they start running up the ramp. And it's just, as you think about the reality of the story, just stay with me for a second. The preservation of, what's it say? Every living thing that God had commanded Noah. God will control and maintain the things in which he creates, and God will lead them in the ways in which they need in order to accomplish the mission of God. Whether it looks crazy or not. That's kind of the theme here. That's the nugget to take out of this. And so the waters, verse 18, rose and increased greatly on the earth. The ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The water rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 15 cubits. Every living thing that moved on land perished, birds, livestock, wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. People and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him on the ark. Did Noah get to decide who got on the boat? Was Noah the decider at all? No. Noah is the implementer, right? He's given this plan, he's given this call, he's given this mission, and he is to simply implement it. And do you think Noah had a million questions and qualifications? And why this and why not them and why us? And yeah. I would have loved to see, you know, like some video footage of the conversations that maybe Noah had with his family and like, what have we done to become this? Remember, the first person to be described as righteous in the Bible is Noah. It's Noah. It's not Adam. It's not Adam's sons. It's Noah. It says Noah was a righteous. I can't even remember where that is. Maybe verse. Chapter 6, verse 9, I'm told. Perfect. Yes, it is. Noah was a righteous man and blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. So some qualifiers there that are all related in that family of faith. Faithful, leading to righteous, which we talked about a few weeks ago, if you were here. Who gets to decide who is righteous? One more time, with some umph. Who gets to decide who is righteous?
God.
Do we get to decide that about each other? Do we get to decide that about ourselves? Noah was a righteous man. In the eyes of God, Noah has done faithful living. He has been righteous in that way. That's how it describes it in the Bible. And so we have a lot of questions when we come to a verse like a chapter like this. And I had highlighted that last line in the end of verse 23. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. That's the update. That's where we're at now. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. Verse 8, another great one with a highlighter or a pen if you are that type of person. But God remembered. God remembered. The way this is written in the Old Testament, God remembering, do you think that God forgot and then remembered, like how I forget to turn the curling iron off and then I remember it all of a sudden? Is that like he forgot and then remembered? No. How can you remember without forgetting? What do you think? What are some thoughts? Take action. Take action? Okay. What else? I'm sorry, what? Something on your mind, yeah. God remembered. Yeah.
Stitched in his heart.
Yeah. So all of these are like being, like calling to the top of your mind to remember, for it to be the thing that is now, was maybe not at the forefront and now is another way to describe that. But for God, and God knows everything, do things fall to the back of God's mind? No. God remembered is a phrase that is used in the Bible a lot to speak to. It's trying to personify, of course, the mind and the heart and the will of God in a way that we can understand. But for God to think upon Noah, for God to think upon these people that he loves, for God to think upon you. If you've felt that moment where you're not only keenly aware that, like, okay, God, what's up? Like, God is with me. God is doing something in my life. But in addition, that moment of God knows, you know, God must know what I'm going through because of I've seen this now, or X, Y, Z happened, or because I have, some of us are just that faithful. We strive to it. That's not easy always for me. But to think of at every single moment, like God knows you so intimately and so deeply in the moments when you have completely forgotten God, or even more so, the moments that we completely ditch God, right? And all of us have those moments, every single one of us. There's no one that is immune from those experiences. And so the goal of the human life is to grow more and more in the experiences of collecting our focus and our heart around what God is doing, instead of those moments of forgetting, pushing to the side, kind of ditching God. Like, you're not really fitting into my day today, God. I had these plans. If you get involved, they might go this way, you know, that kind of thing. It speaks to the relationship that we are given out of pure grace with God, that so too God remembers. It's like emotional. It's a signal that God is aware of us. So God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now the springs of the deep and the floodgates of the heavens have been closed and the rain stopped falling from the sky. The water receded steadily from the earth. At the end of the 150 days, the water had gone down, and on the 17th day of the 17th month, of the 7th, wow, can you imagine? The 17th month, of the 7th month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, and on the first day of the 10th month, the tops of the mountains became visible. After 40 days, Noah opened a window he had made in the ark, and he sent out a raven. It kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Why would he send out a bird? Super simple. Find land. Land on something. If the bird flies and flies and flies and flies and it returns quickly, especially, no land. If you don't see it for a while, maybe land. If it never returns, land. So that's the method he's using. Then, verse 8, he sent out a dove. What does the dove symbolize in the Bible? What is it connected to? Does anyone know? Peace? Peace? Holy Spirit, yeah. Holy Spirit. If you recall, let's say, Luke 5-ish, Luke 3. Someone can check that. Jesus, being baptized, comes out of the water. The Holy Spirit, like a dove, descends. And a voice from the heavens open and say, "You are my son for whom I love, with you I am well pleased." The dove is the only other being in that moment visible to them. The dove symbolizing the Holy Spirit, symbolizing great peace, the Prince of Peace. Now he sends out a dove in verse 8 to see if the water had receded from the surface of the ground. But the dove could find nowhere to perch because there was water all over the surface of the earth, just as we suspected. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out a hand, and he took the dove, and he brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him in the evening, there in its beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. What do you notice about verse 11, the part that we just read, that's different than most things in the Bible? Really simple. Exclamation point. Does yours have that? Does anyone have with them a Bible or is not reading from the NIV? Could you tell me? Is it an exclamation point? Is that what the translators have done in other NRSV? ESV something. Anyways, while y'all are looking at that, the exclamation point, it's interesting because despite our world of text threads back and forth and the prolific use of exclamation points that comes across my phone and that I send out on my own text, in the Bible, it's not so. That's not very common at all. When there's an exclamation point, the translators are using this to communicate to us the emphasis. Put the right emphasis on the right syllable. Yes. The right exclamation point in the right place. NRSV has a semicolon. Okay. So we are being treated by the NIV translators to this little exclamation point. Cool. The fun facts you can only get here at the Root. that probably no one cares about. But there you go. Now you know. A freshly plucked olive leaf. I thought this picture was... And it gave me food for thought, an interesting rendering. I liked it because that does look like Israel in the background. It does look like this area in the ancient Near East that so many of the stories of the Bible come from. And so verse 11 continues, "Then Noah knew that the water had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him." It didn't even return to him. It found life outside of the sustaining life that it strived to hang on to in the ark, you could say. God's creation is now recreating. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year, that is a mouthful, wow, the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. Can you imagine being Noah and Noah's family? Like the first day that you're going to remove, how do they say it? Remove the covering from the ark. You know, if you're like Noah's kids, are you like, Dad, is it today? Kind of like the, are we there yet? Yeah, yeah, exactly. The today's version of are we there yet for Noah and Noah's family. Can we remove the cover yet? Is it dry yet? Is it dry yet? Is it, what about now? I mean, you think watching paint dry is hard. This is...
And as I look at that picture, it looks like it would be a very dark place inside the ark.
Yeah. Yeah.
In darkness for over a year, it seems like...
Yeah. Julie makes a good point. Life inside the boat is no celebrity cruise. So, yeah, dark... And in some ways, like, lonely. It's, you know how that can be? Even though you're around a crowd of people, or you're around, in this case, many animals. Gosh, in some ways, that had to be really lonely. Everybody's family has something, right? The famous phrase, everyone's got something. And if everyone's family has something, and Noah certainly has plenty, then you would kind of want to break every now and then from your family, right? You kind of want some fresh air. You would want some sunlight. You would want all the things that we want for. They're real people. They want for similar things than we want for. They just don't know to have 2025 modern desires, right? But it doesn't mean that they're not really ready for even just the respite from the same people and the same animals and the same situation. And they're doing all of this because what? Because Noah received a word from God. And it just goes to show sometimes the faith that we have to have in each other when God is moving in other people's lives. It takes its own toll and its own sense of extreme courage to react to what God is doing to you and your life for yourself. And it takes a whole nother level of understanding, of prayer, of faith, to understand and listen to what God is doing in someone else's life. That's not easy. It's not. And for those of you who are married or have families or have kids, and you think to yourself, well, surely God isn't going to come to my spouse or my kids or my family or me, then get ready. Get ready. That's exactly how it happens. And you never know how God is moving in every individual's life, and it's not the same. Everyone is different. And so I feel for Noah at the very beginning of this whole thing, convincing or relaying the message to his family. And it will be similar for Abraham, and it will be similar for the sons of Israel. It will be similar all throughout the Bible that you'll see. It was similar for Jesus, right? Luke 4, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. Jesus comes to his hometown. He rolls up the scroll of Isaiah, and he gets ready to drop a truth bomb on them and say, today in your hearing, these scriptures are fulfilled. And they're like, yeah, right, not with you. We changed your diapers. We taught you how to ride a bike. We taught you how to read, not you. And Jesus says, I knew it. It's hard for others to understand what God is doing in us. And so the best thing that we can continually do is remain faithful like Noah, but remain understanding with others and encouraging. Because the world certainly doesn't have enough outlets and enough people encouraging one another to listen to what God is doing in their life. Listen to where God's calling them and then act on it. Thoughts or questions before we go on to verse 15? I would love if there was so much more written about the way that God sustained them and the way that this story would want to describe God's presence with them and providing the daily needs and all of that stuff. It makes you wonder. And that's one of the best things that can happen when you open the Bible, y'all, is to wonder. It's the safest place to wonder. I wonder this. I wonder that. I wonder what they said to each other. I wonder what they did for entertainment, talked about at dinner. Where'd they get dinner? I don't know. That is one of the gifts of Scripture. And one of the ultimate challenges of my role is that there are so many times I have to tell you, I don't know. I really don't. I wish I did. You and I wonder the same things, I guarantee it. Okay, good. Will must have gone over that with y'all. A little market. Yeah. Yep. Great. It's a great wondering.
I'm sure that the family had the penthouse.
The penthouse. Top floor. Lots of views. Oh, yeah. That's the life. The family's just glad to be here, I think. Okay, verse 15. Let's see how far we can get. Then God said to Noah, "Come out of the ark. You and your wife and your sons and their wives, bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth and be fruitful and increase in number on it." So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans. Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." A few things to note here. Here's an image that could represent verse 20. Noah built an altar to the Lord. Have we seen altars before? We're in chapter 8. Nope, first altar. First altar in the Bible comes from our buddy Noah. An altar is meant to be a place of worship. Now, in an ancient Near East world, it included sacrifice. It included a living thing to pay in this way as the life or the lifeblood of the sacrificial animal. What is the most valuable thing in this whole world? Is life, right? Blood symbolizes life. Can't live if you don't have blood. So if you're understanding for the first time these Old Testament altar sacrifices, you're not alone. And a key thing to know is that it's meant and intended to be a place of worship. It is given to God. Now we'll see plenty of times when it's given to other gods by other people. That we would call idolatry. For Noah, as he's beginning this, he takes one of the animals because it is representing the most valuable thing he has, these livestock. It's life, and it's being offered up in sacrifice to God. And then it also says, the Lord said in his heart. A lot of what we have talked about is about the heart posture of God. Now, did God really say out loud this or that? Who's to say? Is it clear that the writer is trying to show us that the moral will of God, really in the Old Testament, the way they wrap up the moral will of God is around the heart, the emotion, evoking the desire that God has for God's creation and God's people. And so God says, God in his heart, God wills it, you could almost say. The moral will of God is for that never again this to happen. So with that, I'll ask for the prayer joys and concerns. If someone could grab those from the back table, that would be amazing. And then, or past it, wherever it landed up. We will do those real quick and then pray and go to worship.
Lauren, yeah.
Lots. Yeah, yeah. It would be hard to do with animals you spend a long time with in close quarters. You've probably grown very attached to them.
And what an odd vision to have these animals watch that animal.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yep, it is bizarre. Maybe we'll have a... When we come back next week, here's what we'll do. We'll not only go through the covenants, which the first one is the Noahic covenant, the covenant of Noah. We'll talk a little bit more about the sacrifice. We'll kind of unpack this so that it's clear, because for a long time, that was not clear to me. For a long time, until really I was in seminary, I didn't understand why it was so important and then how it changed. And when I did, it put all the pieces together for something like Holy Week. When we talk about Jesus having offered himself up as this perfect sacrifice, no longer needing animals, no longer needing the lifeblood of the lamb over the door. Now it's the perfect lamb, the Lamb of God, will be the ultimate sacrifice so that no longer this needs to be happening. And at St. Andrew, we don't show up and do this. We have Christ, as all Christians do now. Anyways, we'll do it next week. That's a good point. So would you go to God with me in prayer as we wrap up this morning? Gracious God, we bring you these prayers that are written down. We bring you everything else, though. That's not. There's a lot. You alone know the hearts of each one in this room, and you know the way in which you're calling them to go, the lives in which you have good plans for us as a church, good plans for us in our families, in our homes, at our workplaces. God, would you reveal them? Would you help us listen to you? Would you help us listen to each other as we individually and collectively try to listen to you? May we be seasoned with grace and the salt of the earth to the people that need it most, so that we may reflect all that is good about you, your glory, your worship, and may we give you honor this week and forevermore. All this we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, go in peace. Hey, y'all. Thanks for joining us here at the Root Community and Podcast. I hope this class has been fruitful and eye-opening as to what God is doing specifically in your life. Until we meet again, I'll be praying for you, ask you pray for me, and we will journey together in life in Christ.